You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Nice to have you back with us. As myself, Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall get ready to talk golf, we've got two events this week, two good events as well, the Dubai Championship on the European Tour and the Houston Open on the PGA Tour, this week's two events. First of all, a warm welcome to Dave Tindall, who joins me today to look at this golf this week. Dave, good morning to you, sir.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Good. Let's reflect on last week, first of all, and a really high-quality display from Victor Hovland in his defence of the Mayakoba Championship. Took that title for the second time, and he took control on Saturday and finished the job on Sunday, and did it without his usual driver as well, and he's a top-class player and a definite major contender in the upcoming season, you'd imagine.
Yeah, well, they cracked his driver, didn't he, on I think the Wednesday on the build-up, and they borrowed one from James Hahn that was of similar nature, but actually helped him in the end. And very impressive from the Norwegian. That's three wins, isn't it, in the last year, twice this event, and he came over to Europe and won as well. So, yeah, as you say, look to him in the majors. I did notice that the PGA Championship is in Oklahoma next year. And that's where he's from and where he lives. Well, not where he's from, but that's where he lives. That's his US base.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Oklahoma always sort of being windy. And the fact that he plays well at Mayakoba suggests that might be a good one to look at him in.
Yeah, and we know the PGA Championship is often an event in which first-timers can have success. So that makes sense. I'd think that... His pitching has improved to such a degree recently, short game, that he will be a major contender this year. That was the missing piece in the puzzle for him, and he talked about it after his round on Friday, I think, where he missed the greens, and he said his pitching was nasty, which is a good thing, apparently, Dave, for younger people. But it's definitely the area of his game that had suffered, but he's shown such a vast improvement, And yeah, he's the king of Paspalum as well, isn't he? Paspalum greens, all three of his successes on the PGA Tour have come on that putting surface, which is a surface that's a rarity on the PGA Tour as well.
Yeah, he definitely sharpened up his short game. I mean, it's a bit of a surprise that he's not yet had a top 10 in a major, but that's kind of almost been statistically pedantic because he's had a couple of 12ths and a 13th. It's not like he's far away.
Yeah.
So that might just be the sort of bit that needs to tighten up for him to get those sort of nearly top tens into places and maybe even a win. But yeah, I mean, he the fact that he was 12th, wasn't it, Royal St George's, suggests he can play well in an Open. That was his debut. So St Andrews as well could be another place for him. Definitely one on the radar, definitely.
Yeah, 100%. And on the European Tour, Thomas Peters won the Portugal Masters, which got him into the DP World Tour Championship next week, and that's why he's withdrawn from the Dubai Championship this week as well. So a good week for the Belgian Peters to get him into that season finale on the European Tour.
Yeah, I was writing a piece on him yesterday, actually. You kind of think he's been in a bit of a lull, but he hasn't really particularly. He still does well in Europe. I just think we expect kind of a lot from him because he's... You know, we've seen him challenging majors, haven't we? We've seen him, or at least finish high. He was had a brilliant Masters debut. He was sixth in the PGA. He was top scorer in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
So we've got like inflated expectations of him, but you know, that's his fifth European Tour win. He's not yet 30. You know, he's now a dad, so maybe that has helped settle him as well. There's a lot more golf to come from Thomas Peters, and yeah, I was looking through his record. He's got a couple of top fives in World Golf Championship events as well. Someone who could who's definitely in each way better than he in big tournaments.
Yeah, I think. Do you think some of that's got to do with the events that he's won on the European Tour, Dave, to a certain extent? I mean, he's won...
Low-key ones, you
yeah,
mean.
just very low-key. Has he won the Czech Masters three times? The KLM Open made in Denmark and now the Portugal Masters. It's just that they're not flagship events on the European Tour by any stretch of the imagination, are they?
They're not, but a win's a win. But obviously in these bigger events, he's going to go off at quite big prices. So I think he's definitely a legitimate each-way bet in any event, any big event.
Okay, let's talk about this week then. The Dubai Championship is the first event we're going to look at. And here with William Hill, Paul Casey tops the betting at 10-1. Tommy Fleetwood is 11s, Bernd Wiesberger 16s, Matt Wallace 20s, Minwoo Lee is 25-1, Dean Burmester is 25-1, Thomas Dietrich is 30s, Sam Horsfield and Rafa Cabrera-Bello both 33s, and Bob McIntyre, Antoine Rosner, Victor Perez all 40-1, and it is 45-1 and bigger the remainder. Antoine Rosner won this event at the Fire Course last year, claiming this title by two shots, following a wonderful final round of 64, and it was an incredibly low-scoring week in Dubai for this event last year, and that was just a reward for Antoine Rosner, having gone close in Mauritius and Valderrama. And that 64 wasn't the only low round on the week. Andy Sullivan shot 61 in the first round. He was in contention going into Sunday. And I guess what we learn from the inaugural Dubai Championship is that this course is there for the taking to a certain extent, Dave. But I'm not sure what we gleaned from the strokes gain statistics. 11 of the first 12 home gain strokes on the green, but I guess that's to be expected. And strong tee to green play was quite well rewarded as well. How are you looking at this week? Are you looking at desert form? Because that usually translates well. What are you searching for this week, Dave?
Yeah, from what you said, it's a bit of a muddled picture when you look at the stats, because you can come at it from different ways and you think, oh, right, OK, that was important, but various things were important. Yeah, I think I did stop on desert form as a kind of obvious way in that is always seems to work out quite well if you follow the desert specialists. You know, it's very rare that you see someone just come out of nowhere who's not done in the desert before. It's normally players with some sort of desert pedigree. So, yeah, that was my main way in, I think.
Yep. I've got two picks at prices this week.
Yeah, I've just got one, so you can open the batting.
Okay, I'll go with the guy that shot a 61 last week in his opening round. Nino Bertazio was the first pick at 80-1, which I thought was a reasonably generous price this week for a player that's shown his ability to go low recently. We saw that with that 61. His challenge was derailed by a Saturday 74, but I think he's got the chance to get in the mix again here. And it wasn't as if that piece of form last week was a bolt from the blue, because in his two starts prior to that, he'd finished tied for 15th at Valderrama, tied for 20th in Mallorca. And I like the fact that he's ranked sixth for strokes gained approach on tour this season, and perhaps his price is holding up because of the miscut in this event last year. He doesn't have loads of desert form, but he played well in Qatar at the beginning of the year and posted a couple of decent finishes in weaker fields in Kenya. He's in good form. I like the fact that he sets up plenty of birdie opportunities with his iron play, and I thought he might play well again at 80-1.
Yeah, I like the look of him, definitely.
Your selection?
My selection is a player with desert form and current form, Victor Perez.
Yes. 40-1.
40-1. I thought that was a good price on Victor Perez. He's obviously been in a bit of a slump of late. Just didn't do much. Actually, went into Portugal last week on the back of three missed cuts, but found his game in Portugal, got better every day. Started with a 72, finished with a 65. Putted well there, which is obviously going to be quite handy for this week. Putted very well, actually. Was second in strokes gained putting. So someone who's got a bit of momentum, and then you look at his desert form. So even in his Challenge Tour days, he showed that he liked this kind of golf, and he was second runner-up in the Challenge Tour Grand Final in 2018. In 2019, he was 20th. At the DP World Tour Championship, that's next week's season-ending event, which was good. Then at the start of 2020, runner-up in Abu Dhabi, which was an excellent effort, shot a final round 63 on that occasion. And then followed that with some other good performances in the desert. He was 16th in the Dubai Desert Classic. He was 7th then back at the end of season DP World Tour Championship. So plenty of desert form for Victor Perez, someone, you know, we thought at one stage could be a Ryder Cup player, and he still might be in future years, but didn't make it this time. But yeah, I thought 40-1, it wasn't too sort of punishing of what he did last week in his desert form. I thought he could possibly have been a bit shorter than that.
Yeah, 40-1. Victor Perez seems definitely a fair price this week. I'm going with a bit of a sleeper this week. I think he'll play well, and he's a massive price. 125-1, I like about Ross Fisher this week. Formerly, obviously, a very good player at his best, and he loves low-scoring conditions as well. It was a low-key week for him last week, but a step in the right direction with a 30th place finish in Portugal. That was a much improved performance, and you can often rely on him popping up at a price in these desert events. It's in conditions like this where he really excels. He finished 7th at this tournament last year, and he came into the event in very similar form to which he's in this time around. And tracking back to his desert form in early 2020, he had a really superb run, finishing tied 6th in Abu Dhabi, tied 6th in the Saudi International, and tied 10th in Oman. And what I like as well is he sits 125th in the Race to Dubai ranking, so he's desperate for a big week. And I think he might come on a track in which he had success last season. So I really like this bet. 125-1, Ross Fisher is my second selection.
Yeah, I look at Ross Fisher every so often when his price drifts, because you always think he's got a touch of class about him. And yeah, you're probably right. This is the place to back him in the desert, given what he's done there before.
Yes.
Just back to Perez quickly.
Yep.
If it is going to be a bit of a birdie fest, he did win the Alfred Dunhill Links with 22 under. I also think any good links format, I know Greg Norman was quoted as saying this is a links test, and it really wasn't. But I think any links form does tend to hold up quite well in the desert. It's kind of open and windy and exposed a little bit. So, you know, you've seen people like Paul Laurie, haven't you, and Ernie Els. Open winners have done brilliant in the desert. So hopefully that's another little pointer for Perez. And Fisher's done well in an open before as well, so maybe that helps.
Yeah, that's generally related to the event in Qatar, hasn't it, where there's a strong correlation with links form when it does get really windy. I think it is going to be low scoring. You can't imagine that conditions are going to vary too much from what we saw at the Fire Course last season, can you?
No, I don't think so. Have you looked at the forecast? I only looked at Thursday. It picks up a bit in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But nothing too serious.
Yeah, I've not looked at how it's going to materialise over the weekend, but yeah, I looked at a similar one to you where when the draw gets announced, it might be interesting to see if there's any sort of bias this week. Could potentially be. What about the top of the betting then? Paul Casey, Tommy Fleetwood, Bernd Wiesberger, Matt Wallace, any of those four give you any pause for thought or interest?
It's just the idea that if it's going to be one with 20 under and more, that you're a bit vulnerable, aren't you, if you're like a Paul Casey or a Fleetwood. If the putter's not on it, that might just make them, you know, they probably will play well, but 10-1 seems a bit, well, those prices, what prices are they again?
Yeah, 10 Casey and 11 Fleetwood.
Yeah, 10s and 11s just look a bit short to me.
Yeah, Matt Wallace is the one, I suppose, from that group of four that you'd be tempted by, because we know that he can get really hot with the putter, and prior to last week's miscut, he'd shown that he was really reaching the top of his game again.
Yeah, so he's definitely one who could go in. It didn't look a great bet last week. It was a short price on a course that maybe isn't great for him. But this looks a better fit, and he's a bigger price.
What's the any others that caught your eye at bigger prices?
I looked at Minwoo Lee just because I thought he might be able to sort of rip it up, but his desert form is poor. Dean Burmester definitely has got a chance.
He looks skinny though, doesn't he, at 25-1?
Yeah, he won on his home tour, didn't he, last week?
Yeah.
Which has caught the eye of a few people. But he's very good in the desert as well. He's got a third in the Dubai Desert Classic, a couple of fourths in the DP World Tour Championship. So a good desert performer. But yeah, his price just looked a bit skinny.
Yeah, I had to look at Francesco Laporta, who was tied for second in this event last year, and he's got some really strong. He's getting there, isn't he? He's learning all the time, seemingly, and can pop up with a top five at any moment. And yeah, he played well last week, and it's just a putter with Laporta. You can't really trust it that well. So 60-1. He's one of those that I'd be annoyed if he won this week, I think.
Yeah, I looked at Rafa Cabrera Bayo, but I just can't see him winning twice in three events.
That's fair comment.
But I think he's a pretty good top 10 bet or something like that. Maybe if you downgrade it a little bit.
Yeah.
So many good performances in the desert. Won the Dubai Desert Classic a while back, didn't he? And earlier this year, fourth in Abu Dhabi. So he's always good in the desert.
Let's talk about the event in Texas then. The Houston Open is this week's event on the PGA Tour. We are top price guaranteed on the top 10 here with William Hill. Plus, we are paying 8 places each way. So it's well worth checking out the golf page at williamhill.com and on the app for all the latest odds. And Sam Burns is the 16-1 favourite for the Houston Open. Scottie Scheffler is 18-1. Sung Jae-im is 22s. Cameron Smith, 25s, along with Tony Finau and Matt Wolf. Tyrrell Hatton is 28-1. Joaquin Neiman, 30-1. Aaron Wise, 30-1. Brooks Koepka, 30-1. Same price for Taylor Gooch and Adam Scott, and it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. As Josh Culp has noted on his Roto World piece, this is actually one of five events in the state of Texas on tour this season, which seems like a lot. And Carlos Ortiz won this one last season, and it was the first year hosted by Memorial Park, a course that was redesigned completely by Tom Doak in 2019 with some assistance from Brooks Koepka. It measures 7,400 yards, and it's a real test, isn't it, this week, with those firm Bermuda grass greens and the fact that it plays to a par of 70 as well. We saw that last year. You need to be on your game this week to contend, Dave.
Yeah, only 1 year of course form to go on. The two runners up last year actually went on to win the next two Masters, which was maybe interesting. I don't know, Dustin Johnson and Hideki Matsuyama. Maybe that's just because they're quality golfers. But yeah, I've actually got three bets here.
Yeah, I've only got the one bet in this event, so I will let you go first. There are some long par fours on this layout as well, aren't there? And five par threes, which is an interesting little kink here at Memorial, at this venue, Memorial Park. And I thought there was a really nice piece that, I'll just give this a quick plug, that Tom Jacobs has produced on OzChecker US, which is well worth checking out. Talks about course correlations and how it can be compared to Riviera in terms of the layout. And I've only come up with the one selection personally, Dave, so I'll let you go first with your, is it a headline selection, your first of three?
Well, they're kind of slightly different. Because we're top price at William Hill on the top 10, it's kind of triggered a price play with me, and I'm going to go for Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, well, I was tempted by Koepka at 30-1.
Yeah, just the price, isn't it? I mean,
it was in a similar scenario to last week when we talked about it. He didn't perform last week in Mayakoba, but this looks like a definitely a better fit for Koepka.
Yeah, so for example, he's virtually twice the price of Sam Burns, which seems a bit odd. Koepka's higher in the world rankings, you know, four-time major winner and all that. But he's obviously had an input into the course design, and that can obviously prove a red herring a lot of times, and people latch onto it, and I'm as guilty as anybody. But he was back last year, perhaps on that basis, and he finished fifth. So it did work out if you played him each way. He's just very good in Texas as well. You go back through his record, his last seven starts there, he's got a pair of second places in the Texas Open and Fort Worth Invitational, fourth at the Byron Nelson, fifth in this, as I said. So they've all come at different courses. So he does particularly like Texas golf, Koepka. What you haven't got, obviously, is current form. He kind of hinted that he was just playing last week to get some reps in, to be honest. I didn't really expect him to do anything. A pair of 71s didn't tell us a great deal, but it's kind of money in the bank.
I think the one place you wouldn't want to back Kepka as well, given the pictures we saw on Instagram last year, is Mexico, really, because he likes to have a bit of fun there, doesn't he? And it seems like it's more of the golf's almost like a sideline to the actual holiday or vacation, as the Americans say.
Yeah, so I think Kepka, he can kind of wander, can't, in his mind. He's got one of those minds, when he's on, he's absolutely as tuned in as anyone can be. So that's why he does so well in majors. I've just got a feeling, given what he did last year and the fact that he's had a part in this design, that he'll be giving it the full Kepka focus this week. Mm. So it's very much a price play, but based on some other stuff as well. But 30-1, I wouldn't want him to win at that price on this course.
Yeah, and he spoke about how it's kind of like a US. It feels like a US Open test, this venue. We'll have to see if we've only just got that 1 year of form to look at, haven't we? So we expect the course to have bedded in a little bit and maybe not be as firm as it was last year, potentially, I suppose.
Yeah. I guess you were close to backing him, but not quite.
Yeah, I was close. I think he might go well this week, Kepka. I've gone slightly shorter in the market to Cameron Smith as my first selection, my only selection here at 25-1 Smith. I just like the way he's elevated his game in recent times. I'm not as downbeat on Burns at the price as you are, it must be said. I think he's shown.
It's only really when I'm comparing Kepka, I guess.
Yeah, I think Burns will go well this week, but Smith, I prefer him marginally. We saw from the comments last year that this test is reminiscent of the challenge Aussie players face down under and how difficult it is when missing these greens. And I think Smith has the skill set to cope. Australians often perform with distinction in the state of Texas because of the conditions. And Smith seems a certainty this season to add to his 2020 Sony Open win on the PGA Tour. He's improved off the tee, which is important here, and his game is built around strong iron play, his work around the greens and hot putting. In his last five starts on tour, he's finished fifth at the WGC FedEx St Jude, second at the Northern Trust, ninth on his latest start in the CJ Cup as well. I'm not overly worried about the length of the course, given what he's achieved at the Masters as well, and I just think the stars are aligned for Cameron Smith this week, and that mullet, 25-1 Smith, is my sole selection.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, you've sort of half made the case for my pick as well. I'm going for Mark Leishman.
Yeah, I was looking at Leishman at the price as well.
Yeah, 35-1 Leishman. If there are some links to kind of majors and Augusta National, then he's played well there. He's got a lot of good form in Texas as well. He's got very consistent form in Texas, as you said, like many of the Aussies. I mean, at the start of this year, he's putting like a god, isn't he, at the moment, Leishman? He gained over 7 strokes with the putter in both the Fortinet and the Shriners, which caught my eye. Then last time and that translated into a really big finish. He's 4th at the Fortinet, 3rd at the Shriners. Didn't quite have it going in the CJ Cup, but he did finish with a 64 there, which was a nice way to finish. He does pick and choose his tournaments quite carefully, Leishman, so I think you're always going to see him pick Texas as somewhere where he thinks he can flourish. He's just a player who knows how to win. He's won, how many times do you think he's won on the PGA Tour?
Oh, Leishman. I'll go 5.
Five.
Do you have the answer?
I did have the answer, yeah. It's for 5 or 6. Don't know why I asked you that when I didn't know the answer. It's 6.
6 has he got.
I did know the answer, but I'd simply forgotten it. That's pretty good, isn't it? 6.
Yeah, it is. It's decent.
Very good, isn't it? I suppose one of those is the doubles event, the Zurich Classic. But that was with Cameron Smith, so there you go. We're perfectly entwined, aren't we, this week with those two Aussies?
Sounds good.
Yeah. I just thought he had plenty going for him at 35-1.
Okay, and your final selection?
Yeah, a bit more speculative. Gary Woodland.
Yes.
Just, again, it's probably a price play, as it were, for Gary Woodland, because, you know, he's obviously 80 for a reason, but, I mean, this is a US Open champion who's played really well in lots of events. Good in Texas. Last 3 starts in Texas, 14th, 6th, and 9th. 2 of those were this year. I think I think his form this year is better than you think. So in Texas this year, he's got 14th at the Charles Schwab, 6th in the Texas Open. Then in sort of the summer, latter part of the summer, he was 11th in the 3M Open, 7th at Barracuda. Shot some low numbers there. And then only two starts ago at the CJ Cup, he was 9th. Finished 66-65 on the weekend, which was particularly impressive. He's talked this week about he's had to kind of switch coaches because Butch Harmon just hasn't travelled during COVID. We've probably seen that on Sky when he's been mic'd up and been live from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So Gary Woodland hasn't been able to benefit from him, but he has found another coach that's travelling around. So he feels he's got more of a team around him at the minute. He had health issues as well. He said he's over them. So I thought this is a while he's still at this sort of price, 80-1, I don't think, even though he was 9th a couple of weeks ago, it's still, I'm surprised he's 80-1 in a field like this, given his record in Texas. He's not played the course before, but, as someone who's done well in majors, Gary Woodland, I think he's up for this test. So I thought that's some each way value at 80s.
Yeah, 80-1. I can definitely see the case for Gary Woodland this week as well. Okay, let's talk about some of the others at the sharp end of the market here, Mr. Tindall. We've mentioned Burns in enough detail, I think, at 16-1. Scotty Scheffler, 18-1, maybe just a little bit short. It does look like a good test for Scheffler, but yet to win on the PGA Tour, obviously in his home state here, Scheffler.
Yeah, it's almost one of those. Had he been 20s, I would have got, oh, but I don't know, 18s. Which is silly because it's 2 points, isn't it? But
it looks obvious, doesn't it, Scheffler, this week, I suppose?
It's very obvious. I suppose you've got to remember, he's still a non-winner. So 18-1 for a non-winner. Mark Leeson's won twice the price. He's won 6 times.
Yeah. And then
you can pair it in your favour like you want, can't you, really? But I do like Scheffler. I do hope he wins. I kind of want to be on him when he wins. So with slight reluctance, I'm overlooking him, I have to say.
There's a couple in there that have that kind of the Texas form and the recent form as well, and that have been well found in the market, I suppose, in Taylor Gooch and Aaron Wise.
Taylor Gooch, the obvious one.
Yeah, Taylor Gooch is the real obvious one this week, isn't he, I suppose?
Yeah, he was 4th in this event last year, closed with a 63. He's actually finished 4th in the last two Texas Opens.
Yeah.
And his current form, 11-5, 11-4.
Yeah, I mean, so you could look back on the week, couldn't you, and think, I know it's Taylor Gooch, but you still might kick yourself if you miss the 30-1, I suppose.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, 28-1 on Tony Finau is big, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, he's not in amazing form, is he?
His form isn't doing enough, I suppose. I mean, you mentioned Riviera there as a link. Finau's played well there before.
Yeah.
But it's only 5 starts ago he won. Normally we were saying it's 5 years ago since he won, not 5 starts. But
that's true.
Yeah, so...
I mean, his Tee to Green game was really good at the CJ Cup as well, but we didn't have stats for last week at Mayakoba, did we, unfortunately? It would have been interesting to see how his stats... Because he lost 4 strokes at the Tour Championship and 6 at the CJ Cup with a putter.
Yeah, we had old school stats last week. He was 37th in putting average, which is sort of all right. But nothing really stood out elsewhere in his stats. Again, it's just Finau at 28. Maybe you used to think that was just sort of each way money in the bank in bigger events, but it's a decent enough price.
Yeah. What did you make to Matt Wolf this week at 30-1? I thought he was one of the more interesting contenders, Wolf.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he was definitely a big part of last week, but didn't see his effort through. He's already won, obviously. 5th and 2nd his last 2 starts. Clearly there's something good going on. I mean, basically last week he just had one bad day, didn't he? He shot that 3rd round 74, did close with a 65 to get back into the top 5. I don't know with him, sometimes with players like him, because his swing is a bit odd, well, very odd, you sometimes think it's about timing. So when they're in a good run, they're in a good run and the timing is on. So maybe this is the time to back him rather than just hoping it clicks. I used to think that with Mickelson, his timing was just a lot had to do with how he was timing it. And when he wasn't, you just stay away from him. But maybe his action is repetitive and that's all that counts. Like Jim Furyk, it doesn't have to be, you know, beautiful to watch. But I tend to prefer him when he's in a bit of a groove because I just think he's a bit of a quirky sort. Mm. So he's in a lot happier place than he had some mental health challenges. So yeah. It's really good to see him playing some good golf again. Oh, yeah, I'd love it if Matthew Wolff won at 30-1. And another one I was quite close probably to putting up.
Yeah, I think he might go. I think the thing with Wolff is you can't pigeonhole him and say he's like he loves a birdie test or he'll play well anywhere, and we've seen that in the US Open and the PGA Championship in recent years that Wolff can contend when scoring's difficult or when you need to go low and make plenty of birdies as well. Brilliant player.
Absolutely. Just a good player who can play well on any course. Well, when he did win, shot 21 under in the 3M Open. So, versatile.
Okay, should we wrap it up? Is there any others you want to mention in the Houston Open before we close here?
I think we've covered most of them. Maverick McNealy, I think, might go well. He's in that category of player who's got some good form but hasn't won yet, so you can argue the price. But
yeah,
sometimes with the younger players, you can slightly justify it a bit further backing them at 33s rather than some old boy who's never been that price in his life, because you could argue that Maverick McNealy will progress so rapidly that 33-1 will look a steal this time next year.
Of those three, Wise, Gooch and McNealy, who are all in kind of a similar mould this week, would you say? How would you rank them in the? What would the pecking order be?
It's tricky. I think I've just backed and followed McNealy a little closer, so it's more of a personal opinion, maybe.
Yeah.
So he's someone I've tracked a little bit closer. He was 20th in this last year, which is good. But I don't know. I don't think I've ever backed Taylor Gooch. Maybe put him up for first round leader a couple of times, but I don't think I've ever backed him, have you?
No, I don't think so. I would rank him out of those three. My ranking would be Gooch, McNealy, Wise in that order, I think, for this week.
Yeah, I mean, they're all virtually the same price, aren't they?
Yeah.
So you take your pick.
Good stuff. Shall we recap the selections, Dave?
Yeah, okay. So in Europe, I will go 1 point each way on Victor Perez at 40-1.
Yeah, I'm going to have a point each way on both my selections. Nino Battaglia at 80-1 and Ross Fisher at 125-1. And in Houston, just the one selection for me, a point each way, Cameron Smith at 25-1. And Dave?
Yeah, just going back slightly, I was about to say on the European Tour, but it's not called that anymore, apparently.
Has it officially changed name? Because we came on live around about 11 o'clock on this Tuesday, didn't we? And they were announcing that.
Yeah, breaking news. It's going to be called the DP World Tour from the start of 2022.
Okay, that's interesting.
With prize money above $200 million for the first time.
Wow. That's quite a big announcement, isn't it? Any immediate reflection on that?
Yeah, I'm just reading Phil Casey's, the PA reporter, his tweet. Says, all sole sanctioned DP World Tour events to have a minimum $2 million purse. Rolex Series events, 5 Rolex Series events out of 47 tournaments. And the DP World Tour Championship will have a $10 million purse.
Right.
Pretty good.
Yeah, so they're clearly they'll hope to attract overseas interest, won't they? And I think they're trying to. Is this a way to combat the Saudi Golf League? I'm not sure.
It could be. Do you think you'll end up calling it the DP World Tour?
I'd imagine so.
But,
yeah,
casually amongst friends. Or do you slip back into European Tour?
Because to be fair, see, it's probably a long overdue change, isn't it? Given how many of the events are nowhere near Europe.
Yeah, that's a fair point. To be honest, isn't it? Yeah.
So it probably had to be. It probably had to change to something. I'm not. Obviously, there's a lot of money involved, and that sponsorship title as well. I'm more likely to call it the World Tour than the DP World Tour, I think.
Yeah, well, the word "world" certainly is a decent fit, isn't it? Given how far and wide and globetrotting it is, so that's okay.
Yeah, I wonder whether that World Tour just denigrates the PGA Tour slightly with the "world" in there. You know, do you know what I mean by that?
Bit of one-upmanship.
Yeah, bit of one-upmanship.
World Tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, you narrow-minded Americans. Yeah. Although they have just been to Mexico and Bermuda, so
that's true. That's true. And I wonder how this affects the strategic alliance as well. I'm sure it'll all play out over the next couple of days.
Yeah, we shall see.
Very good. Thank you for your company, Dave, today.
Cheers, Dave. Yeah, thank you.
At Dave Tindall Golf, if you want to follow Dave on Twitter, you can follow myself at D Kellner as well. Do check out the betting on the golf page at williamhill.com and on the app, and make sure you take advantage of that cracking concession on the Houston Open this week with William Hill. Top price guaranteed on the top 10, plus paying 8 places each way as well. Thank you for tuning into the golf podcast, and myself and Dave will be back next week. And if you are having a bet on the golf this week, the very best of luck, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.